listen to the first team, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first team.
A big welcome to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Grill Room doors are now open, and it certainly was a good winner for you last week and your South Carolina Gamecocks 49-year history of the heritage, and for the first time, somebody born in the state of South Carolina puts on the tartan jacket. Congratulations, Jay.
Well, it was a great week for young Wesley Bryan, graduate of South Carolina in 2012, and had been better known as kind of a trick shot artist with his brother, but he pulled one off this week, and a special win, special time for South Carolina with the women winning the NCAA tournament and the men getting to the Final Four, and now young Wesley Bryan, Gamecock Nation, is pretty excited, Bob.
I'm sure your chest is pumped out, as well it should be. And you know what? Let's listen to what Mr. Bryan had to say about winning in his home state.
Wow. Just an unbelievable experience to be able to win it out here in front of the home crowd on Easter. It was just unbelievable. I mean, really coming down the stretch the last four holes, I didn't really miss a shot. And it's really satisfying to know that under the gun, I was able to perform. Starting this year, I knew that I was good enough to compete out here on this level because I'd gotten in contention a couple times on sponsor invites last year. And I knew that my game was good enough to win, and just to be able to come out here and show it for 4 days and on the last couple holes when I needed to was, I mean, just something you can only dream of, honestly.
Well, it was a dream come true, Jay, and certainly no real big surprise. He was a three-time winner on the Web.com Tour last year. He was the Web.com Tour Player of the Year. Has all the credentials. Just an amazing game off the tee, very solid in and around the greens. And I think most importantly, and I'm sure as far as you're concerned, Jay, just a good, good guy.
Yeah, seems really good for the game, seems in a good place. Just listening to him there talk about the fact that he knew by virtue of last year getting some spot starts against these guys at this level that he could win, and he does it pretty early. He becomes the third rookie of the year to win, or the third rookie this year to win. Cody Gribble and Mackenzie Hughes, he joins them, and he's the sixth first-time winner on tour this season. And Bobbitt, it just continues the theme that we're talking about, all these tremendous players under the age of 30 and some, you know, in their younger 20s. It's a whole new ball game, and I think, we're going to have a 5 to 10 year stretch maybe without a dominant player but with a lot of good players.
I agree with you, and the one thing that Mr. Bryan has to guard against, and I've seen it happen, you've seen it happen out on tour. He's good enough to win. He does win. And now the years start getting bigger as he walks down the range. Hey, maybe I can get better if I do this. Maybe I can get better if I do that. And that's the worst possible thing you can do when you're new on the PGA Tour. You got to dance with what brought you to the dance.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. You and I know a lot of guys that won on tour and then, for whatever reason, never got back to the winner's circle, and many of them struggled to keep their cards. I think, you know, you get that first taste of what it all encompasses. And now I think the players are a little more prepared, especially those on the Web.com Tour. We're seeing that tremendous success that it is becoming a true building block onto the PGA Tour. For a long time, it almost seemed like it was a place where guys had lost their card, could go play, and now it's just starting to produce so many good players.
Well, I got to tip my hat to the PGA Tour. When this was the launching pad, Web.com Tour, to get on the regular PGA Tour, and you know, the Q school was done away with. I wasn't in favor of that. I liked so many things about the Q school and it going down to the wire. But I got to be honest right now, it's proven to be a very solid testing ground, and guys that come off that web.com tour, as in the case of Wesley Bryan, they're just ready to win.
Vertical Groove Golf's vertical grooves on the face of the club produce a tighter dispersion, less spin, and greater distance. John Daly and Rocco Mediate are playing the Vertical Groove Golf driver on the PGA Tour Champions, along with many others. Go to vertgolf.com, that's vertgolf.com, to customize your new driver and feel the difference. Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
And, of course, there were some other big names involved in the Heritage. We have to talk about Luke Donald. Like, it's hard to imagine that he's finished second in that event five times, and he's never won the event.
No, it is really odd. Now, what isn't odd is that his type of game, Bob, fits that golf course so well. Luke is not one of those players that's going to overpower a golf course. So as we talked about last week, previewing the Heritage, it is really a place where guys that hit it straight and hit greens in regulation have success. And, boy, has he had it there. And you wonder, you know, Luke Donald was the number one player in the world at one time. People may forget that, and he seems like he's never reached his full promise.
Well, he's certainly one of the class acts on the PGA Tour. We only wish him well, and as he says, he loves going there. He'll be back next year. Maybe he'll get that victory. Somebody that had a pretty good week, Jay, Ian Poulter. He's chipping away at his medical, exemption, coming back from his injury. Actually, he had 10 events to make 218 FedEx Cup points, or $347,634 to keep his card. And now, with an 11th place finish at the tie for 11th at the RBC Heritage, he needs $30,624 this week at Valero. And what that really amounts to is he has to make the cut at Valero, and then it looks like he would be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, a top 30 finish is kind of what he's charting for. The thing that he's got to be careful with, Bob, as you said, the first thing is making the cut. What he's got to do is he's got to go out and play like he did at Heritage and try and win the golf tournament and not worry about it. He does know that, you know, Ian Poulter has the status and the cachet, if you will, to get a lot of sponsors' exemptions, but he doesn't want to be in that situation. So it'll be very interesting. There'll be a side story this week at Valero to see how Ian Poulter does. And there are a lot of young guys in the mix there going into that final round. And I think, you know, the one thing that I took away and I still don't get is why Jason Duffner doesn't win more golf tournaments, but a really poor final round from him. But again, a lot of good young players, and we saw that last week.
We're seeing more and more. Jason Duffner, 40 years old, and it seems to me that the yips may be creeping into that putting stroke. The one-time PGA champion, boy, I hope not. As you know, the Grill Room, powered by the new face of golf, Vertical Groove Golf. We are proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. Let's take a quick look at what else happened in the world of global golf. PGA Tour champions Stephen Ames gets his first victory there in Atlanta. Good performance by Bernhard Langer, finishes four shots back. Maybe, and let me ask you this, Jay, in your opinion, are there players out there now that really can stand up to Bernhard Langer?
No. What's going to stop Bernhard, as you and I both know, is age. But I don't think there are players out there. I mean, he's amazing. He's a tremendous specimen. He's a man of faith. He keeps his body in great shape. And the only thing stopping him is going to be aging. But now there have been seven different winners, so there are a lot of guys that can certainly play out there and win. But I still think, you know, who was second? Bernhard. You know, when it comes down to that season-long race, I still think Bernhard's the man to beat.
Well, I got to share a story about Stephen Ames. It was at Castle Pines, just outside of Denver, and at the last moment, I was asked to play in the Pro-Am. So I ran to my car, got my clubs. It was a shotgun start, and then I found out that I was going to be playing with Stephen Ames, who was a little bit tough to get along with at times. And we came up, second hole was a par three, downhill, a little pond in front of the green, playing about 200 yards, maybe a little less in the light air and downhill. My two amateur partners put it in the water, and Stephen looks at me and said, "Well, it's all up to you now, Bob." And I said, "Don't worry, Stephen. I got the club for this." I reached in my bag. I knew I had a hybrid in there. What I didn't realize was that I didn't take the bubble wrap off of it. So when I took the head cover off, Stephen Ames is staring at me while I'm trying to take bubble wrap off my club to hit it. I think he went to the tournament director and said, "I don't think we need Bupker in any more pro-ams, that's for sure." All right, let's move on. Let's move on, Jay. Let's go way west, out to Hawaii. A big event there at the Kolina Golf Club. And no surprise winner at all, 39-year-old Christy Kerr made it her 19th LPGA Tour win. Boy, she's a stud.
Well, and you forget about it a little bit because of these players that have come and dominated. And now Christy, you think about, you know, she was part of the Annika era, the Lorena Ochoa era. And now, this new Asian era, if you will. Christy Kerr has been there, and you got to give her credit for staying competitive and having a lot of drive and motivation. Bob, she's made over $18 million. $18 million in her professional career, and she's going to be an LPGA Hall of Famer.
Lydia Ko, well, she's still number one in the rankings, but she changed her caddy again. After nine events, Gary Matthews, a real good caddy. I mean, she finishes second, 17 under par. The caddy's got to be feeling good about the performance, and then after the round, he finds out that he's out of a job. Boy. Job security on whatever professional tour you're on, as far as caddies go, is not that easy.
Bob, as you know, that all the caddies out there on the PGA Tour knows they're just waiting to get fired, and it's a tough gig, there's no doubt about it. And, I mean, they finished tied for second. I mean, she may want to get a carry bag and start looping for herself.
Or a pull card, whatever you think is best. Hey, why don't we take a look at what's next on the schedule, Jay? The Valero Texas Open, Charlie Hoffman defending there. And then a very special event up in your neck of the woods, the Bass Pro Shops Legends of Golf at Big Cedar Lodge near Branson, Missouri. Great place, isn't it, Jay?
Yeah, Bob, it's a tremendous place. Johnny Morris from Bass Pro Shops is creating a mecca of golf. I mean, he has fallen in love with the game, and it's great for the state of Missouri.
And anytime you get to see Gary Player, Lee Trevino, and Jack Nicklaus on property, you're a lucky individual. As far as the LPGA Tour, it's going to be the Volunteers of America, the LPGA Texas Shootout, presented by JTBC, Las Colinas Country Club in Irving, Texas. By the way, the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, would like to extend our best wishes to Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth, who will celebrate her 91st birthday on April 21st.
Now a special treat for our UK listeners on TalkSport 2. As you can imagine, the Ryder Cup is always near our favorite topics list. Recently at the Dell Match Play, Bob had a rare chance to sit down with Paul McGinley, the former Ryder Cup captain, now commentating for Sky Sports, among other things. Here's Bob's chat with Paul McGinley.
I always love seeing this guy. Paul McGinley, successful Ryder Cup captain. Hard to believe it's almost, what is it, over a year already since you won. And what I remember the most about Glenn Eagles is almost 2 years, right? That's right. What I remember the most, Paul, is the Monday after you had to go to the media room. You pulled up in a car, and you had the Ryder Cup trophy. And I just happened to be standing there, and you were kind enough to let me just hold it for a minute. It was one of the big thrills. How you doing, Paul?
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, I mean, it's 2.5 years, actually. And, yeah, you were very privileged. You were an American allowed to hold a Ryder Cup at that time. But, unfortunately, we've relinquished it since, and it's now in American hands.
And, of course, with scheduled to go back to France 2018, I'm seeing in the ranks of the European players a lot of real young talent that maybe could play a huge role when we get to France.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've learned a lot from Hazeltine. I think it's generally accepted we probably didn't have our best 12 players on the golf course. And that's not a reflection on Darren. That's a reflection on a qualification system that was a little bit outdated. We've tried to rectify that with a change to the system. We've lowered the number of tournaments players need to play in order to be a member of the European Tour, in order to qualify to play in the Ryder Cup. With an eye on people, obviously Paul Casey was a big miss from the last team, and John Rahm coming on the scene. So we got that. We've tweaked the qualification in order to try and get our best players out there, and along with the young talent, as you quite rightly say, coming through. I mean, particularly those English players, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, to name two, they're coming storming through the world rankings now, and I think we're going to be in a good situation on a great golf course in 2 years' time, or a year and a half's time now.
Paul McGinley, our special guest. Let me ask you this, Paul. From your perspective, a lot of changes proposed for the rules in golf coming up, maybe to go in effect in January 1st in 2019. Have you had an opportunity to look over the changes, and are you in favor of them?
Yeah, I've looked at them. I don't need anything massively radical. I think they tidy up a number of things. The one I am a little bit concerned about is the ambiguity between how you can drop the ball. You can vary it yourself from an inch to, you know, 6 feet if you want. And I think, obviously, if you drop it from 6 feet, the ball's going to roll a lot more than if it is going to drop it from an inch. So you could take advantage of the rules if you were behind a tree, for example, with a bounce. And I don't like that. I don't like that ambiguity of using the rules to your advantage. I prefer it to be a lot more generic. That's my only small criticism I'd have of it. But in general, I think a lot of the rules are very good in terms of tidying up things and not getting bogged down in rules in the golf, which, unfortunately, in our sport, it's necessary to have a lot of rules, but we want to try to minimize those as best we can.
Before I let you go, Paul, and I certainly appreciate your time, you getting to play at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I've just turned 50 at Christmas, so I'm playing a little bit now on the Old Man Seniors Tour, and I play a little bit in Europe. I'm still exempt on the main tour in Europe, so I'm hoping to play certainly Wentworth, where I've helped in renovating the golf course with Ernie Els and European course design, and hopefully players will like the changes we've made there at our opening of the Rolex Series in May. Then obviously I'll play the Irish Open on the main tour, and then I'll play a couple of seniors in Europe and some on the Champions Tour in America. So all in all, I hope to maybe play 12 events this year.
You know, it's fascinating. Ryder Cup captain, successful Ryder Cup captain, but I still detect a little something in the belly that you just want to compete again on your own like you used to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you never lose it. Unfortunately, in our sport, very fortunately in our sport, yeah, you can go on into your 50s and even 60s. I mean, you look at Bernard Langer now, who's 60 this year, and he's still winning the Order of Merit in the Champions Tour and winning $2-4 million a year in prize money. We're very lucky in our sport that we have that opportunity to keep on going. If you remain competitive, you remain fit going into your, you know, past your 50s when you come off the main tours, that you have that opportunity. So, yeah, I still enjoy it. Of course I do. I'm very lucky and very fortunate to be able to still play and compete in the sport that I've played all my life.
Well, a man that knows quite a bit about the Ryder Cup and what it takes to put together a team, and it's going to be interesting now with some guys like John Rahm accepting European Tour membership to see how that might change the next Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to see Paul Casey on that team also. Well, let's take a little break, and when we come back, we hear what Tiger had to say about his back. We see what's happening in your part of the world, Jay, with the PGA Tour Champions Bass Pro Shops Legends of Golf at Big Cedar Lodge. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Oh, well, the back is progressing. I have good days and bad days. You know, I've had three back operations, and that's just kind of the nature of the business, unfortunately. That's all I can say.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jay, I can't, swear that one recorded a year ago. I mean, unfortunately, and I kind of sympathize with him, Jay, because Tiger just keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again. But it's due to the fact that he really has nothing new to say.
No, he's in a bad situation, clearly. You talked about it a month and a half ago after seeing his agent, that, you know, how for the first time there was really no positive answers. This is a waiting game, I guess. We're going to find out at some point whether he can ever get healthy enough to play. He is making more news, though, Bob. He is he's starting to add more golf courses to his golf course design.
Yeah, and I think he's doing a very special one in your neck of the woods. Why don't you share with us, with our listeners, what Tiger's up to with the Payne Valley Golf Course?
Well, it's a huge undertaking. Johnny Morris, the owner of the Bass Pro Shops and Big Cedar Lodge, has been adding to his cachet of golf course designers with Gary Player, and he's got Jack Nicklaus, and he's got Bill Kaur and Crenshaw, and now adding Tiger. And, Bob, what's unique here about this facility, as opposed to some of the others that are on the country club side or the resort side, this is going to be a 100% fully public access golf course, and it's the first one that's been designed by Tiger Woods, first fully public access, which he grew up playing. So I know it's significant for him. And as I told you at the break, I get a sense that it's not going to be too long when this Big Cedar Lodge, Branson golf area, Bob, is going to be viewed in the same light as a place like Bandon Dunes or where your buddy hangs in Kohler, Wisconsin, Herb Kohler. This guy, he's got big bucks, and he's found a passion for the game.
And he's a good guy from all reports I get. You would know a little bit better than I would, Jay, being from that neck of the woods. But I've never heard anybody say anything negative about Johnny Morris, and all I have to see is, I said earlier in the show, when you see Nicklaus and Trevino and Player show up at one of your events, that's basically a tribute to Johnny Morris.
Well, and he's a first-rate guy. You're exactly right. And to be frank with you, this Legends of Golf tournament had lost its luster. I'll never forget being a young kid when it started. My dad was there in 78 on the broadcast, and in 79 they had that playoff where they kept people watching into prime time, and it all just started. And then here comes the King, and here's Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino, and we've lost a little bit of that luster. And Johnny Morris made a big commitment to this golf tournament, and to the game of golf. So I think you know, hats off to what he's done. He's got tremendous wherewithal financially. And I think, you know, you wonder as well. I mean, Tiger doesn't want to have a legacy of being a bad golf course designer. I mean, nobody wants that. And I think that Tiger, as we move forward, maybe that will become more of his focus. Maybe that's his next major thing, other than trying to do as much as he can community-wise with the foundation.
And your dad did a great job on that TV telecast. The first winners were Sam Snead and Gardner Dickinson. It's just hard to believe. Last year, Michael Allen, he won with Woody Austin. This year, Michael Allen and Vertical Groove Golf's John Daly are paired together. Woody Austin is paired with Mark Calcavecchia, and I believe he's also playing the Vertical Groove driver. There's some other interesting pairings, Jay.
Yes, there is. Tom Lehman, who was part of the ceremony at the announcement of the new Tiger golf course at Big Cedar Lodge, will be playing with Lauren Roberts. That's a pretty formidable pairing. Lee Jansen with another guy who's playing the Vertical Groove driver, Rocco Mediate. And, you know, as I said earlier, the Legends of Golf was losing a little bit of luster. But you wonder, can the Champions Tour get back kind of that feeling that we had, Bob? It's tough.
There's so much competition on the entertainment stage nowadays. But I think with the new arrivals coming out there, I think it's going to do just fine. And you know, they play this tournament in two different categories. To try and help our listeners out when they're watching it this weekend, there's the Champions and Legends. In the Champions category, which is played on the Buffalo Ridge Springs course on all days, the format is holes 1 through 9, modified alternate shot. Holes 10 through 18, the format is four ball. And as we said, in 2016, Michael Allen won with Woody Austin. This year, Michael Allen and Vertical Groove Golf's John Daly are paired together. There are some other feature pairings, Jay.
There sure are. I like the Jay Haas-Fred Couples pairing. You got two little mighty mites, if you will, in Freddie Funk and Jeff Sluman. A little international pairing, President's Cup pairing. Carlos Franco and Vijay Singh. And watch out for Jerry Kelly and Steve Stricker, two guys who obviously kept competing prior to both of them turning 50 on the PGA Tour and still do somewhat. They'll play together, of course, at Greg Norman's season-ending event, so they've got an experience together. It should be very good. And the Legends category, Bob, is Friday and Saturday, and they play on the same course in the same format, but on Sunday it switches over to a skins game at the Top of the Rock, a fantastic par 3 golf course built by the Bear and the King.
And some feature pairings in that Legends division. Tom Weisskopf playing with Tony Jacklin. Mike Hill with Lee Trevino. And then the ultimate, Gary Player with Jack Nicklaus. One brief side note, on the way back from the Masters, we stopped in Biloxi, Mississippi, and I took the elevator down to the casino, and getting in the elevator to go up was my old buddy Carlos Franco. And he had some company on his right arm, and he had some company on his left arm, and he had a smile on his face.
Well, that's very good. That's a lot like Carlos. And the Mike Hill's got to be 100. I mean, come on, right?
I tell you what, he's playing with Lee Trevino. He'll get plenty of entertainment value, that's for sure. And the question that we really are asking here, will a Champions Tour ever capture the magic?
I just don't think you'll ever have it, you know, you can't recreate the early days with Palmer and Nicklaus and Trevino and Player and on, you know. Like Bob said, I think you've got the new crop of players, and now it's more competitive. I mean, these guys go so damn low, it's unbelievable. So that competitive aspect never leaves, and I think there's more players that we see have success on the regular tour. I'll tell you who'll be an interesting guy to see is how often Phil Mickelson plays. That could be a real measuring point when Phil hits 50.
I think that's a good point. And if you want to be more competitive in your Saturday foursome, why not put a vertical groove driver in your bag? You know, vertical grooves on the face of the club, they produce a tighter dispersion, less spin, and here's the kicker, greater distance. John Daly and Rocco Mediate are playing with the vertical groove golf driver on the PGA Tour Champions, along with many others. For more information, go to vertgolf.com. That's VERTGOLF.com to customize your new driver and feel the difference. Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
Another short break, and then we'll take an in-depth look at the Valero Texas Open. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2, as well as Audio Boom, TuneIn, and Spreaker. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Deep in the heart of Texas, the rabbits rush.
Well, it's Texas time now on the tour. Second of four events in the state of Texas. We already had the Shell Houston Open right before the Masters. And this week, it's going to be the Valero Texas Open. Then a great event, the AT&T Byron Nelson. And then the Dean and DeLuca Invitational at Colonial. Valero Texas Open going to be contested at TPC San Antonio. Charlie Hoffman, Jay, who was making a lot of noise the first two rounds of the Masters. He'll go into Valero as defending champion.
And he's got a big shot to defend. I don't think there's any question about it. As we've talked about, Charlie Hoffman won't feel any big letdown or any disappointment. I mean, he'll be disappointed, but, I mean, he won't let it affect his game. He'll roll in there, and if he gets it going, watch out. He's kind of a streaky player. And, you know, this is one of those events that, you know, some people might take a look at the overall field and say, this is a weak field. I don't think, Bob, we're in that situation anymore. When it's a PGA Tour event, there are no weak fields. There may be guys that not everybody's heard of, but they're not weak fields anymore.
Just about everybody in the field has a realistic chance of winning, and a great argument that could be made that it's not a weak field. I was taking a look at the alternate list. How about Stuart Appleby? How about Y.E. Yang? Andres Romero, all former tour winners on the alternate list just to get in the field. To me, that's a great indication that it is pretty tough. You know, great first prize there, customized cowboy boots. Boy, I'd love to get a pair of those for you, Jay. I really would. Maybe you'd like the $1.1 million check instead. How about Matt Kuchar? 13th time to play in this event, he certainly could be somebody that could get the job done.
Well, no doubt. I got to tell you, Bob, I was kind of stunned this morning when I filled out my DraftKings team for this week at the Valero Texas Open. The highest priced player is Matt Kuchar. And, you know, I mean, he's got huge game, but I just didn't – I mean, that just kind of stuck out to me. And you got a guy like Patrick Reed who has played well at the Valero Texas Open. You got Zach Johnson, two-time major winner, two-time Valero Texas Open winner, 2008 and 2009. We talked about Luke Donald. He's here. He played well here last year. And then you get to the young guys. You look at Curtis Luck. He played in the Masters, but he played as an amateur. It's his first PGA Tour start of his career. Making his debut, this guy won the 2016 U.S. Am, and we wish him a lot of luck. Get what I'm saying? A lot of luck.
And he was number one amateur in the world. Now he goes right back to the bottom of the barrel. But, hey, oh, now it dawned on me. Wish him luck. Oh, aren't you the clever one, Mr. Randolph? All right, we talked about Ian Poulter earlier in the show. This is his last chance coming off of that medical. He had 10 events, as we told you, to make 218 FedEx Cup points or $347,634 to keep his card. And what did you say? You know, he has to make the cut. And then pretty much anything inside the top 25 would probably give him his card back.
Yeah, you know, in theory, it's a top 30 finish. You never know how it shakes out. And that's why I think he's got to go about it and play this golf tournament to win the golf tournament. I mean, Ian Poulter's a world-class player. You're not playing to just finish top 30. So, you know, that first round may be very interesting. He's a guy we'll keep our eye on. Some other notables, Jimmy Walker, Dynamite, the Texan. Watch out for him this week. He hasn't really found his game since really back before the turn of the year, but watch out for him, former winner here. Graham McDowell is there. Justin Leonard, who comes out for this tournament every year. Why? Well, he's won it three times. Now we get to the youngsters. Bo Hostler, Cody Gribble. Gribble playing in the state where he went to college. And guess who's back? Beef Johnston. Andrew Beef is in San Antonio, plus Sam Saunders and Johnny Vegas, Bob.
Well, they said there was a lot of beef in San Antonio. Well, when Beef shows up this week, he'll have a lot of people rooting on him. Just to bring you up to date, Jay, on Jimmy Walker, he's really been suffering from mono. And the latest reports are that he's finally getting some of his strength back. He's our reigning PGA champion. We want to see him get completely healthy for a defense in his title because you don't want to go down a Quail Hollow site of this year's PGA Championship in the month of August in Charlotte, North Carolina, where you can pretty much guarantee it's going to be about 90 degrees with 90% humidity. And if you go there not at full strength physically, it could be a long week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that championship. Both you and I love that golf course and appreciate what they've done down there with that tournament, and I'm glad that they got the PGA championship, and it is going to be so dramatically different conditions-wise than the guys are used to playing there. Well, now that you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf, that's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on Talk Sport 2, KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis. Tune in, Audio Boom, Spreaker, and the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Proudly, for Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Do us a favor, follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.